Hey, I'm Greg Schaefer, and welcome to the Virtual CISO Moment. Grant Elliott joins us today. He is the Chief Executive Officer and Chairman of Ostendio. Grant, thank you so much for joining us today.
Great to be here, Greg.
So we'd love to hear about your journey and how you got to where you're at. I know you've been with Ostendio for quite some time. It looks like 10 years now. I guess I should ask first, before you start your cyber journey, did you found the company or did you join the company?
No, I founded it back in 2013.
Okay, well, great. We'd love to hear how and why you got into IT and cybersecurity and what led you to starting the company.
Sure. I mean, so I spent many, many years in the telecom industry and a lot of various different roles and operations, doing some quality work as well in earlier days. But around about kind of 2004, 2005, I joined a digital health company and I was both the chief operations officer and ultimately the chief information security officer. So I spent a lot of time trying to work on building the security posture of that organization, including, going through our own annual audit and going through various different security audits for some of the kind of large pharma and some of the big insurers, et cetera. And so that kind of really, embedded me in this understanding of what an organization needed to do to build out its information security program. Having done that for many years and getting frustrated with some of the challenges of the repetitive nature of it.
There's challenges in information security? I never
think that. Well, and they never seem to go away. I think that's the challenge, right? They've listed for a long time. I talk a lot about how, it seems to be the space, regardless of technology, that people still maintain these kind of old-fashioned values. But certainly when I was doing it, it struck me, we were already in that organization building cloud-based services. And it kind of struck me that there didn't seem to be good cloud-based solutions to help organizations build out their security program. So, we already had Salesforce for selling. We had, HubSpot. We had other kind of finance packages like QuickBooks. There didn't really seem to be a good kind of cloud-based security program that kind of helps someone operationalize their security program. GRC as a concept had been around for a few years, but it was really more, and I still think many GRC platforms still are, a centralized dashboard and not really helping the operational day-to-day aspect of managing security programs. So that's kind of really what I set out to build in 2013. I set up Ostendio really with the mission of trying to operationalize security and compliance.
And well, first of all, what does it stand for? What does it mean in Latin?
So Ostendio, it was actually my niece who was a Latin major came up with it. Ostendio means to demonstrate or to show.
Okay. And so the idea then is that Ostendio is demonstrating or showing the security program?
More than that, I think, we have this concept that we talk about the three stages. There's the kind of build stage, the operate stage, and the showcase, right? And so the idea is, how do you help an organization understand what they need to do to build out their security program? Then you need to make sure that they're operating and running it, and then find a way to demonstrate and show it to, it can be the executive team, the CEO, or an external auditor, right? You need to be able to demonstrate it. And so, one of the kind of key pet peeves I used to have was this kind of, every time that we'd get a requirement from a client to go through a security review, I'd have to go and check, is all my policy documentation up to date? Are all my procedures being effectively operated? I'd go to different people within the organization, try and get data access audit reports. Everything was very manual. We were using, Google Docs to store our policies, and we were using a ticket management tool to track and manage actions. It was just really, really difficult. And I still see people doing that just now. And so from my perspective, I thought, how can we build a mechanism that does that automatically for you, so that all that day-to-day stuff that you're typically scrambling to do, there's a platform that manages and keeps it front and center for you.
Okay. Well, in just a few moments, I'm going to come back and ask about what you think is some of the most significant threats in cyber to small and mid-sized businesses. And I suspect that possibly some of the things you just talked about, as far as like having visibility and organizing in the three stages of security program, might be a part of that. But I'll ask you that in 30 seconds.
The Virtual CISO Moment is brought to you by vCISO Services, a leading provider of quality and experienced virtual chief information security officers for small and mid-sized businesses. Check them out at vcisoservices.com.
That was a little less than 30 seconds. That's a shorter ad there, but I think you already have some answers teed up. So what's a significant threat today to small and mid-sized businesses, their cybersecurity?
Yeah, I think an emerging threat that really has come about in the last couple of years, I think, is what I call full compliance, right? There are a number of platforms that have emerged into the marketplace that kind of give the impression that organizations are doing what they need to do to meet certain compliance standards. And they fall significantly short of what they should do. And, you know, I understand why smaller organizations and businesses in today's environment are doing everything they can to kind of check the box and win business, right, to demonstrate that, you know, they've gone through a SOC 2 or they've gone through various different external audits. I think the challenge we're seeing is that, you know, there's this continual disconnect between security and compliance, right? They're not associated as being the same thing. And so, you know, for certain organizations, the exercise of simply just getting through their audit, being able to demonstrate in whatever way they need to that they're through that audit is more important than actually building an effective security program. And unfortunately, I think there are kind of certain platforms out there today that kind of facilitate that process, and that kind of gives this false sense of security.
Well, and one of the things that it's sort of one of my soapbox items. It can be a soap opera at times.
For sure.
Is when folks come to us, for example, and it's pretty clear that they're just looking to become compliant with something, but they don't want to build a security program. And that's not something that we assist with. There are a lot of folks, there are a lot of platforms, as you say, that assist with it. But what do you think is what is the secret sauce to convincing the senior leaders? And this is very hard, particularly in the startup space, but it's from all size companies, all across the spectrum, up to tens of thousands of folks, as far as like security culture, to make them realize that having a solid, holistic information security program is actually good to the business. I mean, what has been some of your success item stories there that you've been able to convey that?
Well, I think step one, it's about trying to set objectives, right? You have to make sure that you're whoever is responsible for security within your organization have an aligned objective with the business overall. If you think about what a business is trying to do, a lot of the time it involves data, and you have to work with the executive team to understand the impact to the business if something happens to that data. Now, what seems to be happening just now is there's kind of a misalignment, right? You know, the sales team or the executive team say, hey, we need to close these contracts, and an impediment to doing that is we need to be able to demonstrate that we're past this audit. And so that's one way of aligning, but that's not really the right way of aligning, because fundamentally, you know, sure, it achieves that short-term objective. And I can understand, again, why smaller organizations or organizations under pressure might do that. But the reality is that when you actually start going beyond that, regardless of how much money you're investing on, you know, getting compliant, it's really not that much more to invest in actually building an effective security program. And if you really focus on the security elements, so that means, you know, I talk a lot about changing the nature of the conversation between the security organization and the executive team. Start talking the same language. Don't talk about technology, talk about risk, right? Talk about the impact to the organization. Try and place risk in a kind of financial term. And then I think for me, you know, the challenge that a lot of CISOs have today, they end up taking on 100% of the responsibility for the security organization instead of basically having it as a shared responsibility with the executive team. And that's because of this translation issue. They're not able to talk to the executive team and present. So let me tell you how I see these typical conversations go, right? These typical conversations go because the CISO has a certain budget and there's tools and expensive tools they want to implement. And maybe they've picked an MDM capability or some sort of, endpoint protection tool, or they've decided that there's something that they've identified a gap through an audit that they need to invest in. Mm-hmm. And it's expensive, and they spend so much time trying to communicate and justify that tool to the executive team. And the executive team are saying, well, if you do this, are we going to be secure? And they sort of basically by default say yes. But right. I was about to say
that's the worst thing to say.
Yeah, absolutely. Because we know that, you know, I look at information security like a colander, right? There's all these holes, right? And you have to decide which one to cover. And all they've done is they're probably doing an effective job at filling one hole. But when inevitably some sort of incident or breach occurs in another part of the business, the executive team look at their system and say, well, you told me we were secure, and really all they've done is they've secured. So there really has to be some sort of dialogue around, you know, how many holes are there in the colander, what size are the holes, you know, and an acceptance of risk within the executive team, because we know we can't get to a fully secure environment. We need to make sure that the executive team understand the risk they're accepting, and they're in the boat, so to speak, with the CISO.
Well, this gives me an opportunity to tell a story I think I've told before here on the podcast. I want to say it again. It's because it's the worst thing to do, to say, you know, are we secure? Yes. And my first day, I believe it was, as CISO for a community-sized bank, it was several billion in assets in Nashville, went out to lunch with several folks, including the president of the bank. And so, of course, I'm wanting to fit in. I'm wanting to gain approval. And the president asked me, so Greg, you've been here a little while. Are we secure? And I said, yes, sir. And I immediately regretted it. I don't even remember what I ate, because I had some, I wasn't terribly hungry after that. Let me just say that. Well, later on in the day, realizing my mistake, I went to his office. Which actually, just as a side note, was a good sign of culture for that organization at the time, because you could actually go to like the president's office. And I just said, let me just clarify what I said. I haven't seen anything bad yet. And it was like actually a couple of days I'd been there. I haven't seen anything bad yet in the couple of days I've been here, but I've only been here for a couple of days. And I know that there's going to be holes, like you would say, colander or risk around. And he chuckled. He said, I knew what you meant, Greg. Don't worry about that. But the better part about it, though, too, is and the lesson is, don't be afraid to tell the C-suite and the board what they need to hear. Don't tell them what they want to hear, because that's doing nothing but giving them, as you say, the faux compliance or the faux security aspect, which I think is more dangerous to any business.
Yeah, look, I think a good way that I think, you know, I've articulated before for people to follow, and, you know, I'm going to switch my analogies, right? But if you think about a house, right, the best way to ensure that a house is as secure as possible is, you know, don't put any windows or doors in it, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the best way to secure. But we realize in business there, you know, we need windows and doors, right? There are certain things we need to do in order to understand. And so the moment you put windows and doors in, you are immediately accepting some element of risk. Now, there's ways you can mitigate those risks. You can put an alarm system in. You can put locks on the door and the windows. And that's really the dialogue you need to be having with the executive team, which is to understand, look, you know, this is a risk profile. This is where we think we've got low risk, and this is where we think we've medium risk, and this is where we can have higher risk. And the investment decisions that the business needs to make is to sort of like, okay, what is our target risk, right? Where do we think we can reasonably get to with the budget we've got and with the, you know, right, the short-term achievements we have? Once that decision, when that discussion happens, and it happens in a way where, you know, the data is there to support it, then the entire executive team is basically involved in the decision around the risk posture of the organization, not just the CISO. Everyone's involved and everyone knows what they're trying to do. And, you know, the one caveat I'd say to that is, you know, I always kind of joke about, if you're the CEO of an organization and your CISO is still using spreadsheet-based risk registers to give you the risk management information, then don't trust anything they're sharing with you either, right? Because, you know, I'm making it sound as though doing risk management is the right thing to do, and it absolutely is, but it's not easy to do. Done properly, right, it's challenging, and it takes a lot of time and a lot of work.
Exactly. Well, I'd have to push back a little bit on that, in that for small businesses, sometimes that's all you got. But you're right. With larger businesses, you should have some sort of a methodology for tracking and reporting on risk. And there are actually like systems out there that help. And now I'm going to pivot back to what you all do. You mentioned, well, first of all, what is the footprint for your customers? Like what vertical, what size? Are you just large enterprise, small businesses, or kind of do everything?
We tend to be in mid-market. So certainly, you know, we stay away from the kind of Fortune 10,000, and we're kind of, you know, but we tend to be a little bit more mature than your average startup. We do have clients that use our platform. But, you know, again, you know, you mentioned earlier on about not using spreadsheets. I mean, I would say that we provide an affordable option beyond spreadsheets to do risk management effectively. I think the challenge for organizations today isn't actually necessarily there's not software out there to do this properly. it requires an investment of time. We're spending a lot of time today working with MSPs. We're seeing this real evolution that's happening in the space today, where more and more managed service providers are, you know, instead of the historic two pillars of IT and security, they're now adding a third pillar of compliance. And mm-hmm. they don't necessarily always have the mindset to do that. So we're helping with that. So again, the idea basically being is, you know, whoever your IT service provider, whoever your managed service provider, they're using a platform like ours to then also be able to extend their services to basically, you know, offer the compliance aspect of it as well. And if you think that makes sense, because, you know, 10, 15 years ago, most MSPs or IT service providers were really, for the most part, maintaining your equipment and reselling your equipment. Today, you know, they make more money from Office 365 than they do from virtually anything else. And so they're pretty much cloud resellers. And if they're managing your cloud, they're managing your data. And if they're managing your data, then they're probably in a good position to, you know, manage your compliance as well, if they can get that capability.
Well, you touched on the three aspects at the beginning of the podcast. I want to dive into each of those three because they were interesting, but it wasn't ready to go into the weeds yet. So let's start with the first one and maybe how that can apply to small and mid-sized businesses as well, because I'm intrigued with the idea. It's like, well, you can ditch your spreadsheets with this, and that means that it could be cost effective to the small and mid-sized businesses.
Yeah, so look, I think anyone can build a basic operational framework. I mean, one of my favorite jokes is that, you know, the two guys saying, hey, there's too many security frameworks in the industry. Why don't we just create one framework that can consolidate them all? And, you know, a couple of months later, the headline is one more security framework's launched in the market, right? Look, we support natively in our platform 282 security frameworks. And so wow. there's going to be one there for you, right? But if you just wanted to build on something like this CSF, you know, you just take the basic control structure that's there and you just start working through, right? You know, the great thing about small organizations have going for them is basically, you know, some of the scope elements are simpler for them, right? They don't have to necessarily have segregation of duties the same way that large organizations do. There's certain, you know, limit, you know, is there building things out, you know, if all 10 people in an organization can legitimately have access to information, because they're small enough that they can do that. So being small isn't necessarily bad. It's just about trying to make sure you're building the appropriate things and doing the appropriate things. So we try and right size our platform so that if you're a small organization, it gives you a simple start. It's going to walk you through. These are the things that are the basic things you need to do as an organization. It's going to give you an ability to basically track and manage them. But if you're a large organization, you're going into, again, you know, tracking 10,000 risks, then we can support that capability for you as well.
Okay, so the first one, the first of the three was frameworks. What was the second again?
No, and there was a couple of things we talked about. There was the build, operate, showcase, and then there was IT, security, and compliance.
Okay, I was, I guess maybe I mismatched several things together. So, and I thought that there were like three different buckets, but that's okay. So it sounds like that what you're saying is that regardless of size, to an extent, the product is something that can help with the, one of the things that I like that you said was the pragmatic aspect of information security. And there aren't a lot of products, or sometimes I think there aren't a lot of folks that really understand the need for this, that you can't apply a 10,000 enterprise organization security program to an organization that has 10. As you said,
correct,
you can't have separation of duties. And so it sounds like that the flexibility is there enough to be able to still use Ostiendo for that, but with that pragmatic approach in mind, that it's not going to demand, it's like you have to have separation of duties. How do you handle that, actually, if the NIST CSF actually says that you have to have separation of duties?
Look, there's a natural complication that comes with organizations as they grow and develop, right? We talked about one of them in terms of the structure, right? As soon as you start building a hierarchy within an organization, you have to start thinking about segmentation of duties, right? Mm-hmm. In a smaller organization, you don't have to do that. In a larger organization, you probably got different data sources, right? You've got maybe larger clients, right? You know, so the risk of something going wrong, or that, you know, the impact to you on that risk is more significant. As a smaller organization, you know, the impact of certain risks tend to be, you know, less of a problem for you. So it's really more about trying to build a security posture that's relevant to the size of your organization rather than trying to do everything. One of the challenges I have with some of the template organizations out there is they try and do that. They try and implement a one size fits all. And look, we can all understand why that's tempting. If you're a small organization and you don't really know what to do, and an organization comes along and says, oh, here's the 20 things that you need to do. Just do them this way and we'll give you the policy templates, we'll give you the procedure templates. You can understand why people might want to start there. But the reality is, as you said, every organization is different, right? The way that they should be doing things are different. You can't take a template from one organization and say, hey, I'm just going to implement that. So what we try and do, I mean, I mentioned earlier on, we have like 282 frameworks. But you can also upload custom frameworks as well. You can take existing frameworks, you can clone them, you can cut them down, you can make them shorter. At the end of the day, it's about trying to help the organization build a security program that they can maintain and they can run and it can be effective, rather than just checking the box and saying that they have a template in. And this is, I think, some of the challenges, the way that people look at some of the frameworks that exist out there. They see them as being prescriptive remedies rather than basically being a template outline for them to build on. And organizations have to have the flexibility to basically customize and modify and change based on their size, based on their maturity, based on their objectives, et cetera.
That's a huge point for folks on two sides to understand. I'm dealing with a client right now that trying to help them stand up their security program. They've had a few starts, and every time that they've worked with an outside consultant, it's been exactly that, where they were given a stack of templates that were, you know, 20, 30 pages long per policy. And they're frustrated because none of this applies to a company that's like about 10 or 12 people. And that's where actually the hard work comes into play for those within security to help with the small and mid-sized businesses, but also those who are evaluating small businesses need to understand that they're not going to comply with the same framework as, or the same, they won't have the same controls, I should say, as a large organization, but they should have a strategy in place for compensating controls to minimize the risk. Because in the end of the day, it's all about minimizing risk.
Absolutely. And look, the practicality of it all is about, and this is kind of goes to my operational nature, and this is, it's one thing to know what to do. It's another thing to actually do it. A big part of what we talk about is the whole point of compliance is understanding what should be, and then being able to compare it with what is. So your what is what you actually do every single day. It's your operational environment, it's how you perform. You have to basically have defined as part of your security program what you should be doing. And then you have to have a program in place that allows you to compare the two. You know, am I doing what I should be doing? But right. The reason why the operational part of it becomes more complicated, especially as you become a larger organization, is because, you know, how often have you seen an organization basically take a 200-page security policy document, right? And then send it out to their organization, say, right, everyone needs to read this, right? And everyone needs to sign off, and everyone needs to basically say that they're going to adhere to this, right? Well, who reads a 200-page document, right?
Exactly.
But they do that because it's easier to create one document to send it out. The problem with that is, arguably, every single time they make a change to elements of that document, maybe they're making a change to the encryption policy or their hosting environment, theoretically, they're supposed to resend that entire document out again. Again, mm-hmm. So you make a couple of changes and then everyone has to recertify, I've read the whole document again. So what we allow the organization to do is break that. You should never be sending a 200-page document. Break that down into, you know, different buckets, right? We have what we call SPPs, summary policy procedures, that are specific for smaller businesses, but we have more complex and mature documents for more mature organizations. They pick the one they want to start as the baseline, but more importantly, they're broken down into sections, into manageable chunks. And then our software can manage the distribution, can manage the approvals, can manage the acknowledgements. So when something basically expires after a year, it notifies the author they need to update it and resend it out. We can map and align training to that documentation. So you're not just basically giving them the document to send out, you're actually assigning specific training against that document so you can assess for comprehension as well. The other thing related to that is, why do organizations do training once a year when really you should be training people on an ongoing basis? They do it because it's just easier to set that training up once a year. Whereas if you had a platform that could basically schedule training every month or every quarter or in a different area, a different subject, and the platform does all the tracking, all the management, all the certification distribution, right? Again, setting that up takes a little bit of time and effort, but then the program runs itself. So here's an example. You're taking what is typically done very badly because it's basically aggregated to the point it becomes very effective. Mm-hmm. You're basically able to break it down into granular, manageable parts and use a software that allows you to track and manage it all.
Very interesting. Well, I understand myself being in cyber for quite so many years that it can get to be very stressful. And we certainly have a problem in our industry with in some areas of with mental health and people overstressing themselves and not getting away, not taking a break. And I think it's very important that people do that. They need to recharge. What's one of the things that you do to get away and recharge?
So I've always been a big sports fan and I've always enjoyed playing sport. And so you'll probably guess from my accent, and it's probably no surprise, I'm a big soccer fan. So I still play soccer. I try and get out once a week or twice a week if I can and play. And then more recently, one of my sons get into golf, and I haven't, you know, I used to play a lot of golf and I haven't played golf for, I don't know, 20 years. So since this summer, I've started getting back into playing golf again. And I actually enjoy that even more only because I make sure I put my phone in my bag. And I literally don't look at it, right, from the beginning of the round to the end of the round. It really is a way to kind of completely switch off and decompress. So I think physical exercise of any type is always a good thing to do, especially if you have a kind of a job like we have.
I agree with the physical exercise. I don't know if I could actually be without my phone for multiple hours, even if I knew it was right with me. Maybe that might be a little bit better, but it's my Linus security blanket. It's like I have to, and if I'm not around it, it's like I'm not complete. I don't know. That's pretty scary.
Oh, don't worry. If you've seen my golf game, you'll see the frustration is more than taken up in other areas. So.
Totally understand. So what are your future plans or for either you or for the company or both?
So I think, as I said earlier on, you know, what we've really seen in the marketplace in the last few years has been a much more challenging environment to try and go into organizations and get them to take responsibility for what they need to do, just because it's harder. Smaller organizations, mid-sized organizations. Mm-hmm. You know, we're seeing that, you know, whilst there's more and more, I think there's something like 40 MSPs in the US right now. There's a lot of consolidation and a lot of evolution as MSPs. So we're starting to work with more of them to try and have better partnerships so that when organizations come to us and say, hey, you know, we're looking for a solution, we're actually able to provide them a complete solution rather than just provide them a platform. And I think that we're starting to see that's the kind of trend that's evolving. So, you know, organizations like your own, right, instead of basically, you know, trying to go in and start from scratch again with every organization, you know, there's a framework already built there that will operationalize everything that needs to be done. Because, you know, you can't go in as one person. You know, one person can't own the security of the entire organization. No. Every single person within the organization has a role to play, from, you know, the front receptionist all the way through to the CEO. Everyone has to play their role, and one person can't manage that. So you have to have a mechanism that keeps everyone accountable, and that's kind of what we try to do.
Awesome. Well, listen, I really appreciate your time, Grant. I love the conversation. Love what you're doing in the space there with Ostendio. Looking forward to learning more about it, and just appreciate you coming on and speaking to us today.
It's been a pleasure. I really enjoyed it. Thank you, Greg.
And everybody, stay secure.